Later today, Federal Court Justice Anthony Bosenko will release his detailed judgment in the Ben Robert Smith defamation case. Last week, Australia's most decorated soldier lost his civil case against three newspapers which had accused him of war crimes. On 60 Minutes last night, former veterans who served alongside Ben Robert Smith were critical of the tactics used by his legal team during the trial, saying they were re-traumatising. There are also calls for compensation for the families of his victims and other Afghans allegedly killed by Australian soldiers. Daniela Gavshan is the director of Human Rights Watch Australia. She's in Washington. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What do we know about the families of those affected by Ben Robert Smith's actions?
So what we know about the families is that they're currently in some of the most embattled areas of Afghanistan. They suffered these abuses for years and years. Many of them even registered complaints at the time with provincial reconstruction teams and were consistently lied to. And Australia conducted its own internal investigation at the time and determined the raids were justified. And it's only since we've had the Brereton inquiry and then now this defamation trial that we're seeing the truth coming out. And so for these families, I think the truth that they've seen in this case is hugely significant. But then we also know that, you know, as I said, they're from really, really poor areas. And the importance of compensation for them is really, really a key issue that should be on the table now.
One of the key recommendations of the Brereton report, which was highly redacted, but obviously addressed the question of alleged war crimes in Afghanistan. It was released back in 2020. It suggested that compensation should be delivered to the families of those killed unlawfully without waiting for the establishment of criminal liability. I understand the Albanese government has been looking into this, but it has been 3 years. Is it your view that the government's moving too slowly on this?
Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the things is, you know, we're seeing a humanitarian crisis in Afghanistan at the moment. The Taliban control has made life even worse for these people. And so compensation really matters to them. You've also got situations where allegedly the people killed were often heads of households and males. So when, you know, you've got a situation now in Afghanistan where women aren't able to work, women aren't able to go places without being accompanied by men, that the people suffering, the families that have suffered from the loss of their family members who've been murdered in these alleged war crimes, really, really do need compensation. And so the government does need to act quickly on this. It has made commitments to do it, but it needs to put these into place.
I understand it was a recommendation of the Brereton report, but is it necessarily that straightforward to be offering compensation in situations where criminal liability hasn't yet been established? I mean, I'm sure we can all imagine the complexity there.
Oh, it's absolutely very complex. You know, and I don't think there's any suggestion that it's not, but I think the complexity shouldn't stand in the way of it happening. You know, we often do see compensation short of a criminal prosecution, and these trials take a really long time. You know, we've only just seen one soldier being arrested for the first time. You know, in order to have a fair trial, you need to be, you know, obviously go through the processes, and it could take years. And these families really, really deserve better. They need to be treated better, and they deserve justice.
There's obviously separately concerns that allegations of war crimes in Afghanistan could affect future cooperation between the SAS and Special Operations Command under what's known as the Lay Law in the United States. You're in Washington, I think, at the moment. Is there much discussion of this where you are?
Look, there isn't much discussion of this at the moment. Leahy law is a really interesting piece of legislation that is specific to the US. It's a piece of legislation that requires the United States to vet any individual or unit that it works with. So it's not a piece of legislation that covers an entire defence cooperation between two countries. It just affects specific individuals or units. And so it means that the US government won't work with any individual or unit where they believe that they may have committed gross violations of human rights. So they define that as torture, killing, disappearance, and rape. And so that's what, you know, we've seen in the media is a discussion on whether any units or individuals would be vetted out and not be able to work with the US because of this piece of legislation.
You obviously must observe these sorts of investigations and even questions about war crimes being asked more broadly than just in Australia. How do you contrast the way Australia is doing this with other nations similarly accused of war crimes, particularly in Afghanistan and also Iraq?
Yeah, what Australia is doing is really groundbreaking, and it has garnered a lot of international attention. I think this latest defamation case has brought it back into the spotlight because it's, you know, bringing up the conversations again about the allegations of war crimes and the prosecutions. And for the most part, coalition countries are yet to afford any meaningful accountability for abuses committed by their personnel in Afghanistan, but also in Iraq and beyond. So we have seen that the UK has very recently established an inquiry about the British Armed Forces in Afghanistan, for looking at a period of mid-2010 to, I think, mid-2013. But again, we don't know what the findings obviously are going to be, and it's not clear whether that will lead to any criminal investigations like in the Australian context. So Australia really is a leader in this sense and is doing a great job.
Does it enhance or damage our reputation?
I think it really enhances our reputation. You know, Human Rights Watch believes that human rights abuses committed by Australia really undermine Australia's position to critique the human rights violations committed in other countries, and it does tarnish its global standing. So the fact that it is taking a strong stand to comply with international law, Australia is a member of the International Criminal Court, and they are required to then investigate their own conduct if that's as a member of the International Criminal Court. So I think it does actually, if anything, shine well on Australia that it is taking this very seriously.
But doesn't it give countries that do have ongoing and genuine difficulties with human rights violations something to point at us and say, look at what you did?
Yeah, look, it absolutely does, but I think it's all in how you deal with it, right? If you sweep it under the carpet and pretend it didn't happen, I think then, you know, who are we to be pointing a finger at other countries? But here we're saying, look, Australia's saying, you know, we know that soldiers have committed these crimes or allegedly committed these crimes. And as a country, the government is going to deal with it. And I think the comprehensive and thorough way that it's dealing with it shows that actually governments need to repair the damage that they do when their people commit human rights violations or war crimes in their name. And I think the government is showing that it's willing to do that. But there are some areas where they're not, unfortunately, moving fast enough, which is that area of compensation.
Daniela Gavshon, thank you very much. The Director of Human Rights Watch Australia.
Thanks.
And Justice Anthony Bosanco's full judgment on the Ben Robert Smith case should be out soon, the Commonwealth having until today to review the findings for national security reasons.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.